Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today I'm joined by Joey Bergstein, the CEO of Seventh Generation. We are not via Skype, like most of my guests are come on via Skype or even in our studio in Atlanta. We are at the Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia at Sustainable Brands New Metrics Conference. And we're upstairs on the third floor and hundreds of people are below us learning about how sustainability, environmental, and financial can help their business. And Joey's a keynote speaker this week, but we got him first, folks. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we'll just dive right in. Every episode, the first thing I do is ask my guests to navigate through their professional and personal timeline. I'm very curious to how you got to be the CEO of Seventh Generation. The only thing I ask is that you kind of try to pinpoint the time or the place or the moment in your life that sparked your passion for sustainability as well. What kind of lit that fire for you?
Okay. So I'll give you the quick synopsis of my career. Before I came to Seventh Generation, my career really came in two acts. The first was about 10 years at Procter & Gamble. I started in Canada. I worked in France for a couple of years. I was in London for 4 years. I was in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is not like Paris, London, and Toronto, but it was an amazing experience all in. And frankly, I learned all about the categories that we compete in at Seventh Generation. The second half of my career before Seventh Gen was in beverage alcohol. And so I started in Canada with Molson, working on how to globalize that amazing brand that they have. It quickly translated into a whole bunch of other different things. And then after a couple of years, I was recruited away to Diageo. And for most of my time at Diageo, I was leading the global rum business. So turning Captain Morgan into a global powerhouse.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about that experience is I learned all about lifestyle marketing. And as I reflect, actually, Seventh Generation is an amazing combination of those two parts of my career, because I've learned about the categories we compete in. But frankly, people buy us, buy our products because of who we are and what we stand for, which is a lot of the reasons people make choices in beverage alcohol. So it served me well. But to your question about what was the thing that sparked my interest in sustainability, I would say it was accumulation of three things. The first was this latent desire that I have had from the moment that every moment I can remember to make a difference in the world. I'm the son of a Holocaust survivor and have felt a legacy throughout my entire life and my career about the need to make the world a better place. But I think like many people, I believed, okay, well, I'll have a career, I'll be successful, and I'll go about making the world a better place thereafter. So that was always in the backdrop. When I was at Diageo, I had the amazing opportunity to work on this incredible brand called Zacapa from Guatemala. And the brand story about this rum is absolutely incredible. But one moment or one element of the story, which is particularly powerful, is the fact that they, around every bottle of Zacapa, they have this band called the Petate Band, which is woven by one of three tribes of women in Guatemala who are all widows who had lost their husbands during the Guatemalan Civil War. And the business of actually making these bands, which actually symbolize the union of sky and earth, which ties really well to the way the product is made, has completely transformed these villages and turned them from being on the brink of starvation, malnutrition, absolutely no education, to thriving villages where the last time I visited them, just before we made the acquisition, they had education through grade 10, which was quite a huge step forward. And there I saw the power, really for the first time up close and personal, the power of business to do good. And believe me, they could have found much less expensive ways to make these bands to go around the bottles. But there was a true commitment to actually improving the lives of people. And so that was a huge inspiration for me. And then the second piece was, while I was working at Diageo, my youngest daughter, Rachel, was diagnosed with celiac disease. And as we dug in and tried to learn what this is all about, we realized that celiac is present now 5 times the level that it was 50 years ago. And that's just a result of the unintended consequences of our innovation. And it made me realize that all of the things that I have done as a marketer, as a business leader around innovation, I've never really spent much time thinking about what happens at the end of life. What are the unintended consequences? And it made me think really deeply about the things that I put out there into the world. You know, and I put all of those things together and I said, you know, it's time for me to do something with all of the experience I have and put it to work to actually make this world a better place, a more sustainable place, a more thoughtful place. Because business can and should be and must be a force for good.
I love that. And we'll talk obviously more about the force for good and B Corp certification and all that. But I wanted to continue to touch on marketing and branding just because you've done so much of it. So I guess my first question is, why is this, you know, household cleaning brand name Seventh Generation? What's the significance of that?
Oh, wow. Deep significance. We take our name from the great law of the Iroquois Confederacy, which states that in our every deliberation, we must take into account the impact of our decisions on the next 7 generations. And the name has a huge amount of meaning and really drives all the choices that we make in the business. We have it stenciled on the windows in our biggest conference room, and you can see it in different places throughout the building. And it serves as a constant reminder to think deeply about the way that we're innovating, the products that we're developing, the issues that we advocate for, and thinking about more than just trying to sell more stuff to more people. There's enough companies out there doing that.
Right.
But really, how do we change the way that business is done to make business far more conscious of the impact that we're having on society around us? And so the name has an incredible amount of significance, and we really feel like we honor that tradition through the name and through the actions that it inspires.
I love that. I think that's very, very cool. And obviously that's a great story. And, you know, again, just like another niche in marketing, influencer marketing is really big right now. And you guys have like one of my favorite celebrity advocates ever, Maya Rudolph.
I love Maya.
SNL alum is doing a lot of work with you guys. And I saw that she, you know, was working with Seventh Gen on Capitol Hill to help a lot with ingredient disclosure.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about ingredient disclosure. Why is this such an important issue that we should all be caring about? And why don't more people know about it?
Well, we think it's an incredibly important issue. Unlike in food and in personal care products, in home cleaning products, and in feminine hygiene products, period care products, there's no requirements to actually list the ingredients on a package.
So really?
You're bringing this stuff into your home. You have no idea what you're using in and around your family. Or in the case of period care products, you're using them in pretty intimate places and you have no idea what you're actually using.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing because you would never imagine going into a grocery store and not being able to know what are the ingredients on a bag of chips. Now, you may not want to know what's in the bag of chips, but at least you've got the right to know what's in the bag of chips.
I tend not to look at the back.
And there's this amazing fact that one of our scientists always talks about that I love, which is that we consume 2 to 3 pounds of food every single day. Well, we consume 30 to 40 pounds of air every single day. So you think about all the stuff that we and our kids and the people cleaning are breathing every day. It is becoming a part of our body. And so our belief is really simple, that you've got the right to know what's in the products that you bring into your home, that you use around your family every single day. So that's an issue that we've taken a stance on.
Yeah, that's crazy that you don't have, like, that legally, you don't have to disclose that.
Yeah, well,
that's nuts.
Exactly. That's the power of a really strong chemical lobby in DC. And so as a company, we've taken action. For over a decade, we've been labeling all of the ingredients on the back of our packaging because we believe people have the right to know. But we think that should be the law of the land. And we're trying to move the industry to do that. And actually had a great success last year in 2017 in September. There was a law passed in California requiring cleaning companies to disclose ingredients on the back of their package. That was a result of an effort that we were a part of, but really worked across many different companies, large, small, NGOs, and industry groups, really working together to identify how can we move forward as an industry and provide the information that people should have. And our hope is that that becomes the de facto law of the land, because nobody's going to label in California and not label in the rest of the country.
Right. I love the transparency. I think that, you know, that's super important, and it's a big part of your mission and values.
Absolutely.
You know, I've done my research and I'm like a super fan, but, you know, I did want to spend time breaking down some of your, you know, mission and values and some of the things that you guys kind of hold near and dear. You know, it's pretty unique that a household cleaning product line holds itself, you know, to the highest standards and has all these things both socially and environmentally and in the community that they really make sure that they're passionate about and that they're doing the next right thing. So first, let's talk about product. I mean, that's, you know, what got us here. So you pride yourself on using bio-based ingredients. A lot of listeners, so the platform for our podcast is talking about sustainability in a really easily digestible way for people that may not know much about it, but definitely want to help out. So, you know, whenever I come across these buzzwords, you know, zero waste, circular economy, and one that I came across, you know, was bio-based, you know, I always want to make sure that the influencer defines it.
Right.
So what exactly are bio-based products and how do you guys, you know, pick what you're going to use in all of your stuff?
Yeah. So bio-based ingredients are really simply ingredients that come from bio-based sources as opposed to from petroleum-based sources. Most of the chemicals that go into the cleaning products that we use, as an example, are based in petroleum, a non-renewable resource. And we choose to use ingredients that come from bio-based sources. So we'll substitute palm oil, as an example, to petroleum when we're thinking about creating surfactants. And so in its simplest state, that's what bio-based ingredients mean. We've really embraced that definition in working with the USDA, because our belief is also that there's a lot of products out there that are calling themselves natural.
Right.
And we want people to really understand what that means. So the USDA certified bio preferred program measures the percentage of the bio-based ingredients in our formulations, and we put it on our pack. So our laundry detergent is somewhere between 95 and 97% bio-based. So when we call it a natural laundry detergent, people know that that means that 95 to 97% of the ingredients are coming from a natural resource.
Right. And I would be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to also talk about waste. You know, we are on a podcast that, you know, talks a lot about trash and garbage, and we have a common goal, which is, you know, to divert waste from the landfill. You know, Rubicon's mission is to end waste. So I live in an agro hood, which is a community that's focused on environmental sustainability right outside of Atlanta. It's called Serenby.
Wow.
Because of that, I have to get a lot of my groceries and essentials off of Amazon. And I've been, like I said, like a seventh generation groupie since college. And I used to use the packs. You know, they're very easy to just throw in as like a college sophomore who didn't want to do laundry ever. I mean, it was really easy. But now my fiance and I use the 4x concentrated detergent. And I, you know, give that whole backstory to say, I've seen a lot of innovation in terms of recycling and recyclable materials, A, living in an agro hood, and B, working at Rubicon. But this bottle blows my mind. And if you haven't seen it, you know, you can look it up on Amazon. You can order it off the website. I mean, you can find it anywhere, but it is the coolest bottle I've ever seen for, I mean, I think a product. Will you kind of walk me through and paint a picture for our audience, what the bottle looks like, what, you know, and what you can do with it when you're done, because that's the coolest part.
Yeah. Well, so thank you for saying that. So the bottle's made from molded pulp. And so it's recycled cardboard formed into the shape of a bottle. And then inside there is a plastic liner, which we'll soon be replacing with an all recycled plastic bottle, super lightweight. So the amount of plastic that's used is a fraction of what you would need to use in a normal bottle, because the stability comes from the outer cardboard packaging shelf. And for us to make the whole proposition work, we also did, as you said, we concentrated it deeply so that every, you know, basically it's twice as concentrated as a normal detergent that's out there.
And there are directions on the bottle itself that I can break it down and compost different pieces of it.
You need to break apart the shell.
Yeah.
And the
fun for me to do. You know, I'm a sustainability loser, but you know, to kind of break down that bottle and to be like, okay, I made a good decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like to be able to put that kind of back in the earth and not feel bad about the products that I'm using. That kind of takes away some of that anxiety when, you know, I would go to pick up certain cleaning products and you can smell them. I mean, they smell good, or you can use them and, you know, they'll smell like roses for 2 weeks, but I know that it's not the best thing for me and for my family.
Exactly.
And so that's really great for me to have a tangible way to get rid of this and to know that that's not going into the landfill. I think that's just beyond cool.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, another value that we have in common, obviously, besides landfill diversion is, like I said, B Corp certification. So for listeners, I have talked about B Corp, obviously, on the show before. We are super, super proud of, you know, us being involved as well as the other companies that we're aligned with through B Corp certification. But for those that don't know, walk me through, you know, what a B Corp certification means for a business, especially a business as large as Seventh Generation. And why do you think being a B Corp is so important?
Yeah, great. Well, we love B Corporation. We're actually one of the founding companies inside B Corp. Our founder went out on a limb when the B Lab founders were starting up B Corp, because we really believe that there's a huge amount of value to be created by having somebody on the outside helping us assess where we are along the sustainability journey. And I think one of the most important thing to know is that sustainability is a journey. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is at 100%. We're all moving along the way. And the most important thing to do is to make progress year after year after year. And the only way to do that in a meaningful way is to really measure the impact that you're having. And so that's what I love about the B Corporation and the assessments that they do, is it gives you a whole list of different areas and objective measures for you to measure the activity that you're doing against, and to be able to get an independent third party to tell you where you're doing well and where you could frankly be doing even better. You know, and every company can be doing better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, frankly, even or especially for companies that are really sustainability minded, there's always a risk that you think that you're better than everybody else and that you're leading the pack. And when we do our assessments every year, it's a sobering reminder of where we can improve. And
yeah.
Without that, I'm not sure we would make the same degree of progress that we make together.
Oh, that's a really good point. So before we play a quick game that Joey already ruined before we even started, I wanted to talk about, you know, the New Metrics Conference and your breakout sessions and your keynote that you're talking about. So you're doing a talk on, you know, why and how sustainable brands outperform others in growth and profitability. I copy and pasted your title. That's a long one. And we've talked a lot this morning about, you know, your mission and the values, but why do you think brands with a clear and definitive purpose are so much more successful? You know, and especially, I guess, as it relates to millennials, you know, we're just trying to grasp towards mission-driven businesses. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think ultimately it's because people today buy into companies for their values more than just the products they make. We don't just make eco-friendly home and personal care products. We're trying to change the industry. We're trying to change the world.
Right.
And people really want to support companies that are trying to make a difference in the world. I'm going to tell a story at the beginning of the
I'm basically just trying to have you do your keynote right now for us.
So I'll tell you the story that I was going to lead off the conversation with, which happened to me several years ago. I had just finished a meeting in New Jersey. I had to get into Manhattan. I got into an Uber. Today would be a Lyft, probably. And I had to return a phone call to our advertising agency, who had just presented yet another round of really expensive work that just hadn't hit the mark. And so I had to give them feedback, and the feedback went something like this. Look, you just don't get us. We are so much more than eco-friendly home and personal care products. We care about sustainability. So we source our ingredients from plants, not petroleum. We care about zero waste. So we don't make just our products to be recyclable, but we actually make them from all recycled materials. We care about transparency, so we label our ingredients on the back of every one of our packages. We care about workforce equity, so we try to create an environment where everybody can thrive regardless of race, religion, and gender. We believe that business must be about more than profit, that it needs to care about people and planet, and that, in fact, it must be a force for good. And so my Canadian-like rant went on and on and on like that. And then I get to wherever I'm going in Manhattan. And I go to get out of the car. I'm still on the phone. And the driver says, wait. And I said, what? And he says, you got to tell me what company you were talking about, because, dude, I am totally sold. And
I love that.
it was an amazing moment, because, you know, I discovered that I could probably sell Seventh Generation really well if I took lots of cab rides all over the country.
Yeah, totally. That's your...
You know, in the absence of being able to do that, what I'm realizing is that it's just everybody. You know, this was just a regular guy. He wasn't wearing Birkenstocks. You know, maybe his shirt was flannel, but you know, it was a cool kind. And it was a regular, person who was really interested in a company that was trying to do good in the way that they did business. And I really think that's at the heart of what is propelling people to buy into brands like Seventh Generation.
Okay, Joey. So now it's my favorite part of every episode. We started this game to kind of help our listeners get to know our influencers on a more personal level. I mean, we've gone through kind of your professional trajectory and, you know, we've talked about what's important to you, but like we haven't talked about your go-to karaoke song. We haven't talked about the last movie you've seen. Don't worry, those aren't the questions. So I'm going to ask you 10 short rapid fire questions and you just shoot off the first thing that comes to your head, okay?
All right.
All right. What does your morning routine look like?
I run at 5:20. I try to stop sweating, which takes a long time. And then I shower. And hopefully if I'm at home, I'm dropping my daughter off at school on my way to the office.
Where is your favorite place to go on vacation?
My favorite place to go on vacation. Well, we lived in Paris for 2 years, and going back to Paris is always an amazing thing. But frankly, I love discovering new places. So last year, we were in Costa Rica for the first time. The year before, we were in South Africa as a family for the first time. This year, we're off to India and to the northern part of India for a two-week trip. So those adventures are amazing with my family.
Who's the last person that you texted?
Oh, my wife. Always. Or maybe one of my daughters. Could be.
If you could play any professional sport, what would you play and why?
Well, I'm not much for team sports. I love skiing.
Okay.
And so if I could do anything professionally, it would definitely be to ski. But it wouldn't be racing. It would be off-piste somewhere in the wilderness, hopefully not getting lost or dying.
What is one piece of advice you would give to a young brand trying to make an impact?
Be really clear about your mission. What's the change that you're trying to create in the world? If you are a young brand, you have no choice. In the absence of money, you need to create chaos. So how do you really get noticed? So take risks. And then the third thing is be all in. There's a lot of talk in business about agility and the importance of agility. I actually think it's the most overused word and misunderstood word. So, you know, clearly you need to be flexible. But when agility leads to, you know, fast failing and then just giving up, I think that's a bad thing. I think that you see real success if you've got something that you're really clearly trying to achieve and you stick with it, whether it works the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. I mean, nothing happens overnight. Everything happens with hard work.
If any actor, dead or alive, could play you in the movie of your life, who would you cast as yourself and why?
Oh, God. I don't really know. But you know, I remember the movie Meatballs from Once Upon a Time. Everybody told me the guy who played Rudy looked a lot like me. I don't know. Maybe that would be the person. I can't imagine anybody wanting to do a movie about my life.
What's the last concert that you went to?
Oh, my God. It was a Katy Perry concert with my kids a while ago. And I fell asleep, embarrassingly. Or not.
What was your first job?
My very first job, I was like a 7-year-old kid. I worked on Saturdays at a car wash giving out candies to other kids when they came to pay for their car wash, believe
it
or
not.
Nice. Yeah. And then I started my own car cleaning company when I was in college. So there was a theme. And now I do lots of cleaning. So cleaning's been a constant theme through my life.
And here's one that'll relate to candy that I'm making up on the spot because Joey ruined my first question about poutine. What's the best Halloween costume you've ever had?
Oh, well, I went to a Halloween party celebrating one of my friend's birthdays on Friday. I went as Captain Morgan with my Captain Morgan cloak. That was great.
Oh.
But my favorite costume of all time was when I went as The Road with all black with a yellow dashing down the front of me and a little cone around my neck.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
You know, success is, that's a really big word. Success for me is about changing the world, about the way that we do things as a society and as a business. I think that we need to be mindful of the consequences of all of our actions. And so success for me ultimately is really about having an impact and leaving the world a better place than I found it.
Love that. Joey, this has been so cool. Like I said, this is the first time that we've done anything like this on location. And, you know, you and your whole team have just been so awesome. And, you know I've mentioned it a lot before in the recording, but I'm a Seventh Generation super fan. So this is a very special experience for me. And I cannot thank you enough. So you got to get to a session
and
go break a leg out there.
All right. Thank you.